Welcome to another episode of It's All French to Me. So with Halloween coming up in just a few days' time, I thought it'd be fun to do a Halloween-themed episode. So just before we start with my first recommendation, I'm just wondering, does anyone have any spooky ghost stories they want to share? So unfortunately, I've never actually seen a ghost. But the next best thing, so when I was a child, I used to live in the gatehouse of a very large house, which was actually a boarding school. So in the holidays, it was obviously vacant. I'll never forget, late one evening, we had someone literally banging on our door. And when we went to answer, it was someone who I knew who worked at the school, who'd been working alone in the school during the holidays and during that day. And he had literally ran. There was a very long drive between the house and where we lived, and he'd literally ran the whole way, scared out of his wits, because he claims to have seen the famous grey lady, which was the legend of a ghostly figure that haunted the school, the house. I don't know any history of who this lady was. I can't remember, to be completely honest. But the thing that stuck in my mind was, as a child, seeing this chap who I recognised as a serious, I think he was actually, he wasn't a teacher, but I think he worked as one of the governors, I think. And his face was literally white as a sheet. He was trembling, and he claims to have seen her. So we you know, calmed him down. And I think my dad at the time went back with him to the school. But, you know, there wasn't any further sightings, as it were. But, yeah, that stuck in my mind. So who knows? So 2 years ago, I was fortunate enough to go to Edinburgh for Halloween to watch the Rocky Horror Picture Show, funnily enough. But while we were there, we went on a ghost tour around Edinburgh at night, which was fantastic. For those of you who haven't done it, I highly recommend it. There's a couple of different choices you can do. We chose the one relating to a poltergeist that is known to haunt a certain crypt inside a graveyard in Edinburgh. But it started making me think of graveyards. So one of the most famous graveyards in Paris is Le Cimetière Père Lachaise. As cemeteries and graveyards go, it's well worth a visit if you're into that sort of thing. Even if you're not into that sort of thing, the reason why I first went is because it's the cemetery in Paris which has a lot of famous graves, well-known people's graves. So as well as like classical composers and things like that, you've got Oscar Wilde's grave, which his tomb, which is incredible, incredible sculpture. But I remember I went with a friend who knew about it already, and one of the thing to do when you visit Oscar Wilde's grave is to go and kiss it. So my friend had bright red lipstick on, so she went and kissed this grave and left her mark, as it were, alongside a lot of others. You've got Jim Morrison's grave is there as well. But the reason why I went is it's home to Edith Piaf's grave. So I'm a big fan of Edith Piaf. And it was quite nice to see where she's laid to rest, and all the flowers and the tributes that are still there, that are constantly there, really. But the reason why I'm saying this and why I'm remembering back to Halloween is because we went quite late in the afternoon after a day in Paris. And it's such a huge cemetery. They do actually have maps at the beginning to say you know where you're going, because you can easily get lost in there. And we actually thought that we trapped, locked in there, because they closed the gates at a certain time, like early evening, And we went back to, one of the exits, and the gates were locked. And we thought, oh, my goodness me, are we going to be trapped in a cemetery overnight? Luckily, we weren't. We did find a way out. But it just made me think about getting trapped inside a cemetery at night. Rather spooky. Although I'm quite sure if there were any ghosts, especially of Edith Piaf, I think I'd have quite enjoyed that, to be completely honest. Has anyone else ever got trapped in a cemetery or have any ghost stories? Please do let me know. Anyway, on with the show. Deja Vu Film Review. So my film recommendation this episode is about as spooky as I could find. I'm not one for horror films, and I'm not even one for sci-fi. The reason why I love this film so much, I think, is because of the setting. It shows the Parisian way of life really, really well. Even though the time that it's set is in a post-apocalyptic world, the film I've chosen is called Delicatessen. So it's directed by Jean-Pierre Jeunet, who also directed the hugely successful Emily film. The story centres around a butcher who owns a delicatessen in a virtually derelict neighbourhood in Paris, who also has tenants in his building above the shop. Because of the situation and the time they're in, life is very hard for everybody, and there's no food to go around. I'm not going to give too much away about this film, but if I just say the butcher has ways and means of providing food for his tenants, I'm quite sure you can imagine the macabre theme of this film. Some things to look out for in the film is the old man who lives in the basement, who lives on snails. Hilarious. Having lived in a similar apartment in the centre of Paris for a short while, and for anyone who knows the size of the apartments, it can be very interesting at times living so close to all sorts of different characters that live, you know, just a few feet away. And I think this film shows that very well. From the bizarre couple of toy makers to the Portuguese family, as well as a touching love story between the butcher's daughter and the new tenant. I won't give anything away, but this film is most definitely worth a watch and well and truly lives up to its film noir or dark comedy genre. Another thing I should mention is the fantastic acting by Dominique Pignon, who's a great comedy actor who was also had a small part in Amelie as well. So the film won many awards. I think it's shot fantastic, and I think the scenery and the set are testament to that fact. When the film came out, some of the reviewers compared it to the resistance during the war of Nazi-occupied France. And I hadn't realised that there is elements of that in the film as well. Another crazy element of the film is because of the shortage of food. The means of trading is with corn. So they pay for everything in corn. This time there's no memorable soundtrack, but the but just a lot of eerie sounds made by a cello and a musical saw. The film culminates with a very grisly ending, but well worth watching till the end. It's one of those films where, although in some bits I have to look away from the TV, I find myself glued to it and I'm having to watch it all the way to the end. I hope you enjoy and don't have too many nightmares next time you go to a butcher's. So Halloween in France is very different from all the traditions in America and also that in the UK. It's much more really of a religious and family holiday, rather than the commercialism we see with the trick-or-treating, all the pumpkin carving, etc. So to give a bit of context, I think it was one of the popes that first created All Saints Day. So in French, that's Le Toussaint. So literal translation, Le Toussaint, all the saints. And this is celebrated on November the 1st, which is unheard of, really. Unless you're a Roman Catholic, I think the Roman Catholics still celebrate this. But otherwise, it's unheard of, really, in English-speaking countries. So to start with, the 1st of November is always a national holiday, un jour férié. So there's always church services. And very often on the 1st, people go to their family's graves and place flowers, very often chrysanthemums, or a lighted candle in a lantern. That's very common occurrence on the 1st of November in French cemeteries. They sort of see it more as family time. So often people extend it into the whole week and they sort of go and spend time, go away and spend time with one's family. But it's quite similar to the traditions at Easter, because they'll often eat, they'll have like a big meal, and they'll often eat either lamb or game, which we do at Easter as well. But then the big difference at midnight, I mean, they don't do this everywhere, but, you know, traditionally they eat. So it's a supper. And they have in it bacon, black grain, pancakes and cider. And the reason for this is to honour the dead. And then also, in fact, it is actually a 3-day holiday. So the 2nd of November is All Souls Day. That's not celebrated anymore at all. I think in very olden days it was. They did something. They did another church service or something, but it's not really celebrated as well. But if you are in France, you will notice, I mean, these days, I mean, children, they do a little bit of pumpkin carving, but there's definitely no trick-or-treating. I think the French chocolatiers, they go to town a bit and make a big thing of it. So you might see children with Halloween-related chocolate items. But really, there's nothing much more than that going on the 31st of October. That is, of course, unless you're close to Disneyland Paris, as mentioned in the previous episode, where they have a whole festival of it, and it's well worth a visit if you enjoy the festival of Halloween, or traditionally called All Hallows Eve. So when it comes to spooky or Halloween-themed songs in France, there really isn't any. I mean, the only ones there are for kids. So, I can think of a few American songs that are Halloween related, kind of spooky. But when it comes to France, there isn't any. So I really was thinking back to when I lived in France, and really there was only one song that came to mind. So the reason it came to my mind is because of the music video. The song itself, really, the subject of it isn't really Halloween or spooky, although there is a lot of symbolism in the song itself. So the song I've chosen is, it's called Optimistique Moi. So literally translated, Optimist Me. It's a play on words, really. So it's like saying me, optimistic. It's by France's biggest selling singer to date. I personally think of her as, I've always thought of her as the French Kylie, the French version of Kylie. She's very similar to Kylie Minogue in so many different ways. So the singer I'm talking about is Mylène Farmer. Or as the French like to say, Mylène Farmer. She's the French pop princess. So basically her style is pop. But just to give you an idea, I had a quick look on what it says about her on Wikipedia, because I didn't know too much. I know roughly a little bit about her personal life and her background, and I've listened to a lot of her old songs from her back catalogue as well. But I didn't really know too much. I didn't know that much about her. So the first thing I was quite shocked to find out was that she's actually born in Canada. Although her two parents are French, she actually was born in Montreal. But what it says about her style, just to give you a little bit of it, if you don't know who I'm talking about, to give you an idea of what it says, or what it says on Wikipedia, it says, Farmer is best known for her poetic songwriting, which often features philosophical ideas, symbolism, transgression, religious imagery, alliterations, double entendres. So that is one thing I was going to mention. There are so many different double entendres in her lyrics. It's unbelievable. Common topics of her lyrics include sex, death, religion, and love. So the one thing in common with all her songs are they are very upbeat, very catchy, very memorable as well. You find yourself humming them, singing them throughout the day. They're very catchy tunes as well. So this particular song, Optimistique Moi, the reason I chose this song for this episode is how bizarre the video is. It was directed by a chap who has done quite a few videos of Madonna, just to give you an idea. So the story of the video is she's a circus performer, actually a magician in a circus. So she's doing these circus tricks. She's doing like a high wire trapeze turn, and then she's walking on top of a ball in a circus, like a balancing act. And then in the end, she ends up going inside a box, and then swords are put in the box, and then when the box opens, she's not there. Some doves fly out, and she ends up on the back of a truck going down the road. It's hard to describe without you actually seeing it, but it's a very spooky, lots of different characters in there. But what I got from the video was that she's kind of trapped in the circus, and then she escapes through her magic. She escapes the circus onto the back of this truck going down the road. That's what I got from the video. I don't know what anyone else thinks. So in all of Milane's songs, I mentioned she uses, she's very poetic, and she uses words to mean two different things. In later years, she's gone on to do some English language duets. She likes to do some English language. Well, I think she's done some act English movies as well, but she's done some English language duets with famous faces. So she's done one with Seal called Les Mots. Fantastic song. And also more very recently, she's done one with Sting, which is called Stolen Car. Brilliant song. So some of the lyrics, I'll just read a little bit. It goes, tu te fous de mes ténèbres comme de tout et comme du reste. C'est ça le temps qui passe. Fais fi des signes du ciel sur les faits sans ton brevet. C'est ça l'amour, c'est quoi l'amour? L'amour est loin, papa était malin quand il disait tu bas, petit bouton de rose ou pétale humide, un baiser je dépose, optimistique moi papa, optimistique moi quand j'ai froid. It's basically saying, you don't care about my my dark feelings. C'est ça le temps qui passe, time goes by. And it says, love is far away, l'amour est loin. Papa était plus malin quand daddy was smarter, when he said quietly, little rose head with wilted petals, I kiss you, me optimist daddy, me optimist when I'm cold. You really have to, you really have to put your head around these lyrics. They're a bit strange. But like a lot of her lyrics, I think she just uses words that rhyme and that sound really good together. Anyway, check out the video, especially if you're going to listen to this song. I'd recommend watching the video. It's on YouTube. Let me know what you think. Hope you enjoy. So for this episode's recommendation of places to visit, I couldn't think of anything more spooky and horrifying to recommend as Les Catacombes, the catacombs. So Les Catacombes de Paris. For those of you who don't know what that is, it's now, and it has been since the middle of the 19th century, a tourist attraction. But it's rather ghoulish. So what the catacombs is, basically it's underground tunnels in Paris that are, well, the walls are built of millions and millions of skulls and bones. And they've been made in a very decorative manner. But to give an idea of why, I'm just going to give a brief history of how it came about, from my understanding. It was because of when the Romans first came to Paris, when they wanted to start building, they needed the limestone, and they quarried it from enormous quarries, right in the centre of Paris, basically, and then built on top of it. When I say enormous quarries, these are absolutely enormous, and they made multiple levels of them as well. And then obviously Paris got built up on top using all this limestone. So in the late 18th century, what started happening, whole streets of Paris started just collapsing, sinking into the ground, because the weight of the modern day then streets, that it couldn't take it, and it all collapsed. So that's when they discovered the enormous quarries. And as well as the quarries, they also discovered about 200 miles worth of tunnels built when they were used to access these quarries to harvest the limestone. Because of all this demolition and all this disaster of all the streets disappearing, they started working, and it took 10 years to make it safe, all these tunnels on multiple levels. So while that all this work was going on, making all the tunnels under Paris safe, one day, unrelated to this work, the residents who lived behind the cemetery wall of, what cemetery was it? Saint-Honoré, I think it was. I'm pretty sure it was Saint-Honoré's cemetery. So one of the big cemeteries in Paris. Basically, a cemetery wall collapsed onto a whole load of back gardens in a row along this street. And just literally, if you can imagine, 2 million rotting corpses, bones, well, literally bodies from that had been buried in this cemetery on top. And when I say buried, they did mass burial graves, because of, it's all from like different conflicts throughout history. So you've got the plague, you've got the revolutions, all the people, all the people that were killed at the Bastille from the guillotine and all that. They literally put them in mass graves and put a wall around them. So then this wall literally burst like a dam, spewing 2 million bodies into people's back gardens, which was a bit of an issue, as you can imagine. Well, as anyone could, I'm quite sure anyone could imagine. So they were sort of wondering what the hell they were going to do with all these bodies. And then the chap who was in charge of the construction work of making the tunnel safe under Paris came up with the idea of putting them down there, basically, reburying them, I suppose, which is exactly what they did. So for the next few years, they transported all these bodies underground. And the way that they sort of stored them under there, I suppose, is that they actually made them into, made them as part of the edges of the walls. In a way, I suppose it was a decorative way of doing it, but also to reinforce the structure of the to ensure that there's not more sinkholes, basically. So they literally put rows of heads, rows of bones, and really this created a tourist attraction. So mid-19th century, open to the public, charging admission to people going and visiting them, and it's still open today. So it's the entrance of Les Catacombes de Paris. It's in the 14th arrondissement. It's near the Jardin de Luxembourg, not far from Montparnasse Tower. It's on the border of of the Cimetière Montparnasse. A word of warning to anyone who's thinking of going. Apparently, temperatures are absolutely freezing down there, as well as the stench is a bit much, so I've heard. And for €30 a head, you get a 1 hour's guided visit of the underground tunnels. I should mention at this point, underground tunnels, apparently the catacombs themselves only take up 5% of these 200 miles of tunnels that are still there under Paris. And the rest of the tunnels throughout history have been used for, obviously, they're not open to the public because it wouldn't be safe, but they have been used in World War II by the Germans as hiding places, by the Nazis as hiding places, and also by the French resistance to get about. More recently, they've also been used for clandestine activity, hiding places for modern-day criminals, actually. Quite recently, there's even been stories about police finding underground dens in there as well. So I hope you've enjoyed that little segment about the spooky spooky bones under Paris. If you've been there, please let me know what you thought of it. And enjoy. So thanks to everyone who have fed back and let me know how much they're enjoying the first two episodes. That's really encouraging. Thank you. So we've got our very first ever listener question come in. And this is from Jesse. And he says when he, and this was from when he, from episode one, when I mentioned about Le Mot du Jour, which was Les Incompetents from Home Alone. Relating to Home Alone, he says, when in Home Alone 2, when Kevin McAllister gets on the wrong plane and he goes and sits next to a French man, what is the French man saying? So I vaguely remembered that. So I had to go back and watch the film to remind myself. But I have written down the translation of what he says. So here it is. So he goes, so Kevin asks him, not knowing he's French, has he ever been to Florida? Because he thinks he's going to Florida. And the guy goes, I'm French. I'm a tourist here. It's the first time that I'm visiting America. And then he goes, tell me, is there any good restaurants that I should go to? Maybe your parents would know. And then, so obviously Kevin doesn't speak French, so he's not answering him. So the guy goes, why aren't you answering me? Do you speak a little French? And then he says, I don't speak a word of English. And then and obviously there's still silence from Kevin. So he goes, give me a break. And then he goes, are you sulking? Are you annoyed with me? And then just before Kevin puts his earphones into his Walkman, he goes, I'm Andre. And so then you can't hear what he says the rest of it. So that is my translation of what that French guy says on the plane in Home Alone 2. So, Jesse, I hope that answers your question. If you have another question or if anyone else has any more questions that I could possibly help with, please send them in. And I know I said before that you can leave me a voice message. There's a little button that says voice message, and I said I'd share it on the next episode, but obviously I won't share it. But I was thinking about it, and actually obviously I won't share it if you're not happy with me sharing it. But otherwise, yeah, please write in. So my email address is itsallfrenchtome@outlook.com, and also please follow me on Instagram. It's all french 2. There wasn't enough letters to put the me in, but it's all french 2. Just search me on Instagram. Please follow, as I put little updates and little tidbits of current news that I can find. I put them on there in between the episodes as well. Well, I hope you've enjoyed the episode this time. Let me know if you have any suggestions or anything you want to hear coming up. And I hope you can join me next time when I will finally be revealing why I love France so much, as well as reviewing my think the biggest all-time selling French film of all time. Can you guess what it is? Join me then. So until next time, thanks for listening. Et à bientôt.